Well, before I begin this morning, a couple announcements I want to make. First of all, I want to share some great news with you. Pastor Adam Harbaugh, our outreach pastor, and his wife Kim celebrated the birth of their first child this past week, a daughter, Lydia, born on Wednesday, and mom and dad and daughter are at home resting, but we just are grateful for them and grateful for God's answers to prayer for them. So when you see them in another week or two, wish them your best. The other thing is, you know, as I've been preaching up here for quite some time, I've noticed that as the years and the months have gone on, more and more of you are using maybe smartphones or tablets to access the Bible and not play Angry Birds, right? And so response to that, we've tried to put some tools together to help you out. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time to describe this, but on the back of your connection study guide on the inserts of your bulletin, there's an app called YouVersion. It's a Bible app that has great access to different translations of the Bible. But in addition to that, you can also access live events, which are notes that go along with the messages. A lot of them correspond with the sermon slides that we share on a Sunday morning. And so if you're into that, some of you, you know, have the giant jitterbug or whatever, you know, just can I push, you know, a number. But if you're a smartphone person and use that, want to encourage you to, again, read that. We'll be talking about more as the weeks go on, but just really grateful for the work that's been done behind the scenes on that. Well, on to Mother's Day, you know, moms, especially you young moms, if you didn't have enough to worry about already, here comes the latest affliction to motherhood, something known as PSS, PSS, Pinterest Stress Syndrome. It's the feelings of inadequacy that are caused by failing to live up to the blissful images of domestic tranquility that are found on social media sites like Pinterest and Facebook. Here's the fail. Some beautiful Easter chick, you know, cake pops that didn't quite turn out so well. And if you think I'm joking, you know, NBC just conducted a survey among 7,000 moms and found that 42% of moms worry that they are not crafty or creative enough for their family. Symptoms include staying up to 3 a.m., clicking through photos of exquisite handmade birthday party favors, even though you end up buying yours at the dollar store, or sobbing quietly into a burnt mess of expensive ingredients that were supposed to be adorable bunny cookies for the school bake sale. Sound familiar? PSS. Or, as it was known to a previous generation of moms, MSCS, right? You know what that is. Martha Stewart Comparison Syndrome, right? Or some of you who are a little older than that, JCCS, right? June Cleaver Comparison Syndrome. So, and she is wearing the pearls. See, the point is, whatever generation you have been as a mom, it's tough. It's tough to know what to do, who you are, and how you measure up. And I want to talk about that today, but do so in the context of our Rooted series. You know, going back to January, we have covered nearly three of the four chapters in the book of Colossians. And up to this point, last week, we've looked so far, everything has been what I would call one-size-fits-all material. One-size-fits-all, meaning that it doesn't matter if you're male or female, young or old, single, married, widowed, divorced, with or without children. All the passages we've seen so far in Colossians apply to all of us. All of us, every one of you. They're passages that show us who Jesus is. They're passages that talk about the spiritual transformation that takes place for every person who knows Jesus as Savior and Lord. And passages that tell us how we're supposed to live rooted in Christ and to walk in His ways. And that's the ground we've covered so far, but the verses following, the ones we're going to look at in the weeks to come, are going to change all that. Paul's going to get more specific in talking about how to live the rooted Christian life, and to do so, he's going to go from one-size-fits-all material to getting more specific by touching on things like our married life, our family life, our work life, our prayer life, our life as witnesses for Christ in the outside world. It's Paul's ways of spelling out in great detail what we saw last week in Colossians 3:17, that whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So next week, for instance, Pastor Mike is going to preach on the following section of Colossians, Colossians 3:18 and 19, which talks about what it means to have a marriage that's rooted in Christ. And so that's what's coming up later on in May and into June. But for today, in light of Mother's Day, I want to revisit the passage we saw last Sunday and talk primarily, not exclusively, but primarily to the moms we have here today. Last week's verses, Colossians 3:12 to 17, they make up this incredibly rich section of Scripture. And I realized in going through it, I couldn't cover everything I wanted to say from that. There was so much material and so little time to do so. And so as I thought about what to share with you on Mother's Day today, I realized that there was plenty left unsaid that I think can both challenge and encourage moms here. So that's what we're going to do. And so to do that, we're going to go back to the passage we saw last week. We're not going to go through all six verses, but we're going to look again at Colossians 3, 12, 13, and 14. The passage says this: "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And so with these verses as our foundation, I want to touch on three things for those mothers with us today. First, who you are as a mom. Second, what you're called to do as a mom. And then third, what difference you make as a mom. Who you are as a mom, what you're called to do as a mom, and then what difference you make as a mom. Does that make sense? And so with this as our roadmap, let's go ahead and tackle that first one. Who you are as a mom. Who are you? Now I realize that I'm coming, you know, from a place of ignorance and inexperience trying to answer this question. So yes, I was in the delivery room with Kathy for the birth of all three children. That puts me one step ahead of Ricky Ricardo. But I did not, over the course of 9 months, have to carry them within my body, nor did I have to exert the force or endure the pain of bringing these living, breathing creatures weighing anywhere from 8 pounds, 5 ounces to 9 pounds, even from in here to the outside world. As a matter of fact, here's the difference. Even talking about it makes me feel a little peaked, okay? So I mean, I can't tell you, like, you know, a concerned, empathetic therapist, yeah, I know how you feel, right? Because I don't. I don't. But having said that, I do feel somewhat qualified to talk to you moms from Scripture about your identity as moms. Your identity, the way you look at, the way you feel about yourselves. My qualifications aren't experiential. No, they're scriptural as I attempt to pass on to you God's thoughts from His Word. Now, if you've been with us in this Rooted series, you might be thinking to yourself, please, not another, you know, soliloquy on identity. And I realize that it's been this repeated theme in this series. But I do think that this is such a vital area for you as moms, Christian moms, to make sure you get this one right. Identity. See, if you are a mom who also is a believer in Jesus Christ, you are faced with the proverbial fork in the road. There are two choices before you, and you have to pick one. And the question goes like this: what defines your primary identity? Your relationship with Jesus Christ or your role as a mom? What defines your primary identity, your relationship with Jesus Christ or your role as a mom? Or to put it another way, do you view yourself as a Christian who also happens to be a mom, or are you a mom who also happens to be a Christian? Now, don't get me wrong, both are important, but there can only be one foundational place that we all go to that drives our self-worth and value as people. It's the place that tells us how we think, feel, see ourselves. And even though we may have any roles and responsibilities in life, in the end, there can only be one primary foundation that shapes all the rest. That's true for dads, that's true for you if you are a worker. You've got this job that you have a lot of pride in. You know, again, I'm not a mom, and I'll never be one. But I also realize that motherhood is this incredibly wonderful gift that the Lord bestows to women. But still, I want to push you on this one and try to have you answer that question of which path do you take in the fork in the road, because here's the thing. If motherhood is your choice, then motherhood can be a very dangerous place to run to for your primary identity. Motherhood can be a very dangerous place to run to as your primary identity. See, if motherhood is the one thing that gives you your value and worth as a woman, then what happens if you can't conceive, right? Does that mean you're less of a person than other women who do have children? That's just not consistent with the heart of God. Or if being a mom is your primary identity, then what does tragedy and loss do to you? Like a miscarriage or a fatal illness or some kind of horrific accident. Yes, those things will break your heart, but will they also strip you of your basic value as a person? But even if you have been able to conceive, and even if you've never experienced that kind of devastating loss of a child, there are still many other circumstances that can chip away at you if your foundational identity is that of being a mom. Like, how will it affect you when your child doesn't do what you think they should? Or as they get older and they make decisions you don't agree with? What do you do when your child can't keep up with his or her peers and doesn't have the success or recognition like your friend's children or your sister's children? And what does it mean when you lose your temper and lash out at your child in a moment of frustration? If your primary worth is tied to your performance as a mom, then the guilt over failures like these can be beyond bearable. Or, then later on in life, as some of you have experienced, what happens when your children grow up and move away and don't keep in contact with you as often as you'd like? See, when a woman makes motherhood her primary identity, it's going to lead to one of two places. It's going to lead to either control or worry. Control or worry. And so you have sinful control where tactics like guilt, manipulation, anger, pressure, the silent treatment are all tried to use to get your kids to perform the way you think they should. And why is it so intense? Because their performance gives meaning to your existence. And your worth depends on them fitting into your preconceived boxes. But then if it isn't control, it's going to be worry. Worry, that place where you're now consumed with anxiety because you're no longer in charge. You no longer have the final say, and so you're left flapping in the breeze because of your child's free will and the choices they make that are beyond your control. Listen, I don't want to downplay the heartache a mom goes through during all the different seasons of life. The pain that she feels with a wayward or rebellious child. And I'm not even going to begin to suggest that a woman with Jesus as her foundation is then somehow immune to grief and sorrow and other crushing emotions. But I do know this, that what we saw last week in Colossians 3, that talks about our primary identity being rooted in Christ, it's real. That's real. Colossians 3:12 says that for the man, for the woman, the girl, the boy who by faith knows Christ as Savior and Lord, there is this unconditional, there is this irrevocable relationship that you have with God which is filled with a love that is beyond measure. Colossians 3, verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And as we saw last week, that in Christ, you are chosen, you have worth, you belong. Way beyond any kind of performance you have, that in Christ, you are holy, you're forgiven, you're washed clean, you're made new, and that in Christ, you are dearly loved by God Himself. Loved by a God whose love is described in the Bible as being wider, longer, higher, and deeper than anything we can ever begin to grasp. It's a love that surpasses knowledge. It's a love that's beyond our comprehension. It's a love that can even see us through the darkest of times. See, when Jesus is your life, that's what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3:3. When Jesus is your life, then your identity isn't tied to your performance as a mom, or the performance of your children. You're free from the whims of conditional behavior, this barometer of comparison that can go up one day and down the next. No, as we sing here at Hopeville, God, your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. God's love for you through Christ is never failing. It's never ceasing. It's never fleeting. It's never exhaustible. And that is an incredible foundation to build your life upon. Listen, I would love to see this church filled with Christian women who are passionate about motherhood, who take their role seriously and find great joy in this God-given privilege. But I also hope that these women would never make the gift of motherhood more important than the one who gave it. In the end, being a mom is a gift, and being a mom is an assignment from God. It's a wonderful one. It's a cherished one. It's an impactful one. But the assignment is not God himself. And so because of your new life in Christ, your number one duty is first to live out what Jesus called the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is to be your primary duty as a mom, one that flows out of your primary identity as a Christian. Now, we'll get to our second topic in a moment, the one that says, well, what are you called to do as a mom? But before we get to that, I just want to speak to a couple specific groups of people, of moms that I'm sure are represented here today. First, for those of you who are Christian women who are not moms, but deep down you wish you were, let me just go out and start by saying that my heart is with you. Our hearts are with you. And I don't know why God hasn't allowed you to conceive, but I do know that it's not some kind of judgment or curse on you, that God somehow doesn't think you're worthy or that you're such a bad person that you've forfeited the right to become pregnant. That's not it at all. That kind of thinking is pagan. It's anti-biblical. You know, and some people are so quick to give their opinion and reason why certain things don't happen. But in the end, it's okay to say, you know, we don't know. We just don't know. It's not an easy thing to say. Nor is it easy to live in the vague unsettledness of that. It's an act of faith. It's an act of faith acknowledging that He is God, we are not, His ways are higher than ours, and that there are some things on earth we're just not meant to understand. And that's for those of you who are Christian women who are not moms but wish you were. But for those of you who are moms here today, but maybe you do not know Jesus Christ in a personal way as your Savior and Lord. Or you can't say with confidence that you know you've experienced His grace and His forgiveness in your life. Let me say this. Don't love the gift more than the giver. Don't love the gift more than the giver. Don't worship the gift of motherhood more than the one who gave it to you, God Himself, because when that happens, do you know what that is? You're worshiping an idol, the idol of motherhood. And the Bible says that idolatry is more than just stones, statues. It's when a good thing becomes our God, it takes center stage deep down within our heart, and we build our life and happiness around it. See, here's the thing. Being the best mom you can will never fill the hole in your soul. Being the best mom you can possibly be might make you feel better about yourself, but it's never going to complete you as a person. And being the best mom you can possibly be will never atone for your sins and bring you forgiveness. And so we celebrate you on Mother's Day, and I don't want you, though, to confuse the gift with the giver. I don't want you to miss out on the life and the love that Jesus came to bring to you. And so if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I would encourage you to make Him the object of your worship, to give Him the center place of your heart, confessing your sin, confessing your imperfection, your need for Jesus as your Savior, and trusting in his sacrificial death on the cross for your sins. This is what the Bible says it means to be a Christian. And then from there, see, this is how God works. As a woman who is both a Christian and a mom, you make loving God your first priority and you will be a great mom. You will. I guarantee it. But if you make being a great mom your first priority, then you're going to miss out on God and you're going to fail your children. That's the difference when it comes to this whole thing of primary identity. Well, I spent a lot of time talking about who you are as a mom, so let's move on. So for a mom who is also a Christian, who really does want to do what God wants her to do, what does God want you to do? Colossians 3, verse 12. Let's finish what we read. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Five qualities that all of us as believers in Christ should be clothed with. But as you see those words, those certainly speak to motherhood, don't they? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And so as you think about your role as a mom and what God calls you to do, maybe the most important thing isn't so much what you do and all the tasks that fill your day, but rather it's the way you do them. The way you do them is your life. Are the things you do, the way you relate to your children, are those actions marked by these things? Last week we didn't have time to talk about each in detail, so I just want to go through these and take a moment on each one of these character qualities. First, compassion. Now, compassion is a word that comes from the depth of our being. In the Greek, it is literally bowels of mercy. And compassion is that side of love that is able for us to transcend our own little world and to be able to enter into somebody else's world, their needs, their feelings, their fears. And compassion is what pushes us beyond our weariness to drive up to school one more time because our child needs us. Compassion is feeling the pain of a daughter's breakup, even if you didn't think much of the guy she was dating at the time. See, the opposite of compassion is what? Distant, disconnected, uncaring, unfeeling. No, compassion is the willingness to let your heart be involved and to enter into the risk beyond control. Then there's kindness. Kindness is essentially the difference between being helpful and being hurtful. Helpful and hurtful. Kindness is this tender helpfulness with no strings attached. You feel loved. You feel cared for when someone is kind to you. Now, the opposite of that, you know, I don't think there are many people who set out to be unkind, but it's amazing the kind of cruelty we as flawed and broken people can be capable of. Even with our children. And our cruelty comes so often out of that, you know, kick the dog phenomenon where somebody's been cruel with us and then we just turn around and give it back to our kids. We may do it verbally, we may do it emotionally, we may even do it physically. I think a lot of this gets passed down through the generations if we've been treated unkindly when we were growing up. And so we desperately need the power of Jesus Christ to help us break that cycle and to start a new legacy, a legacy of kindness. And then there's humility. I think moms have a leg up on dads when it comes to humility. I've been told by women that humility pretty much starts with the moment they become a mom, right? The birth of their first child. The whole hospital staff enters the room. They see you with no makeup, with this less than flattering hospital gown. They see you larger than you've ever been before. And you are now in this position where all dignity goes out the window. Guys, I do not think we can top that one. Humility, though, is setting aside your agenda, your interests for the sake of someone else. It's you stepping out of the spotlight, not making it about yourself, and shining that spotlight on others. See, with humility, there's no arrogance, there's no superiority, but a willingness to serve. You don't need all the attention. You don't need all the applause. You don't need all the approval. Why? Because you are wholly loved and accepted by God. And so the mom who clothes herself with humility takes on those less than glamorous roles, like what? Like diaper changing, errand running, meal prepping, homework helping, job working to make ends meet, where you're not the one being served, but you are the one serving others. And then there's gentleness. Gentleness. Now, I suppose gentleness is a lot like kindness, right? But gentleness is that quality that stands in opposition to harshness or rudeness. That when you're harsh and rude with your children, so often out of anger or frustration, you demean their worth and you communicate to them that whatever is going on, it's not up for discussion, right? Gentleness means approachability. Gentleness opens up conversation. Gentleness says you're willing to listen and that you don't always have to have the last word. Maybe you're wondering why your kids aren't talking to you. Now, there could be a lot of reasons why, but maybe one of them is that lack of approachability that comes with gentleness. And then finally, patience. Patience, or as I like it in the old King James Version of the Bible, long suffering, because true patience does involve some kind of suffering. It's hard not to lose your temper. It's hard not to speak your mind. It's hard not to try to defend yourself at every turn, isn't it? And yet patience waits. Patience holds back. Patience leaves words unspoken. Why? Because acceptance is at the heart of patience. See, if you're always impatient with your children, then you send a strong message that the worst thing in the world they could ever do is to make a mistake. And so constant impatience on your part reinforces this paralyzing fear within them that they better not mess up. But patience gives them room. Room to grow, room to fail, room to learn, and room to succeed. It's that quality of staying calm when everything in you is screaming to want to react right away. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. These are the qualities we as Christians, you as mom, need to clothe yourselves with. You wear these qualities every day. You exude them in the things you say and the things you do. And why? You're able to do so because God, through Jesus, has been this way with you. He has been compassionate with you, kind to you, humble with you, gentle with you, and patient with you. And so this is what you're called to do as a mom, to clothe yourself with these character qualities, the way you're supposed to live. But as I close, I want to just encourage you with this, with the difference you can make in your children's lives as you walk in these ways. You know, as I reflected on these qualities this past week, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, I couldn't help but think, you know what, those words, they're not just mom words, they're Jesus words. They're Jesus words, aren't they? And all throughout the Gospels, we see this is how he lived his life. This is how he treated others, demonstrated this kind of love with both friends and foes. And so moms, by living this way, by clothing yourselves with these character qualities of love, your kids will experience Jesus through you. They will. They'll experience his love working through you as you're clothed with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. And as all that experience of love, you know, becomes more and more real to them, you know what happens? It points them heavenward. And it allows them to open up their heart and to trust in a God whose love is even fiercer than yours as a mom. This is the kind of difference you can make. See, some moms can be an obstacle to God because they're anything but compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. And when moms are not this way, you know what happens? Kids learn early on to trust no one, and that they have to go through life with a guarded heart just to survive. Some moms, though, aren't so much an obstacle to God, but they're a distraction from God. A distraction, a detour. Because they have made motherhood their primary identity, they demand, maybe not spoken, but they demand their children's primary loyalty. A first kind of loyalty that really should be reserved for God alone. But then for the mom who genuinely knows Christ as Savior, who strives to love her children as she has been loved by God Himself, then she's no longer an obstacle, she's no longer a distraction, but she's a signpost. She's a pathway that helps lead her children to the grace and the truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Motherhood isn't easy, but motherhood is worth it. And for those of you moms who are in the thick of it right now, who are, you feel like you're dying under a pile, you're barely hanging on, let me just leave you with these words from Scripture. Galatians 6, verse 7 and following. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A woman reaps what she sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, who makes motherhood about themselves, right, will from the flesh reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 9, here's the punchline. So then, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. When it comes to being a mom, there are few, if any, endeavors in life that give less real-time feedback on how well you're doing. You give and you give and you give, and there's no immediate payback. You just don't get to see the results right away. And then throw on top of that all the stress I talked about in the beginning that can come from comparison and feeling inadequate. That's why I think these words from Scripture are so appropriate for you as moms today. Don't grow weary in doing good. God is not expecting you to produce rainbow birthday cakes every single year, okay? But you know what? God will use every little act of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience in the life of your child. He will in the life of your family, in the life of those around you. God uses them. He sows them as seeds into their hearts where they will, in time, take root. They will bear fruit, and they will make a difference, an eternal difference. So by the grace of God, don't grow weary. Don't pitch in the towel, but keep on going and never give up. Moms, we love you, and we're with you. Let's pray together. And Father, even as I pray this, I realize that we have a lot more than just moms here. So for all of us, may we take our primary identity from who we are in Christ. An identity that is unconditional, an identity that is unchanging, and an identity that is irrevocable, given to us, and it can never, ever, ever be taken away. And so then, whatever role we play, whatever responsibilities we have, may that flow from your endless, fierce love for us. We do pray for the moms with us. Your blessing, your encouragement, your strength, your peace. Lord, I also know that we've got extended families here with mom to support mom, and may they do so. May they be her biggest champion. May they give her love. May they show appreciation. And may we run this race together to live out the spirit of Colossians 3:17, that whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This we pray together in his powerful, strong, holy name. Amen.